Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of The Fourth Part of the World, The Race to the Ends of the Earth, and the epic story of the map that gave America its name, by Toby Lester, narrated by Peter J. Fernandez and directed by Sarah Sarchin. This book opens with the following quote from Etymologies by Isidore of Seville, written circa 600 A.D. The Earth is placed in the central region of the cosmos, standing fast in the center, equidistant from all other parts of the sky. It is divided into three parts, one of which is called Asia, the second Europe, the third Africa. Apart from these three parts of the world, there exists a fourth part, beyond the ocean, which is unknown to us. And now, the fourth part of the world.
Prologue. Awakening. First, a quote by John Boyd Thatcher, 1896. But where is this Waldseemüller map? Somewhere, in some dark corner of a monastic library, folded away in some oak-bound volume, a copy may be sleeping. It was a curious little book. When copies began resurfacing in the 18th and 19th centuries, nobody quite knew what to make of them. 103 pages long, and written entirely in Latin, the book laid out its contents on its title page. Introduction to Cosmography, with certain principles of geometry and astronomy necessary for this matter. Additionally, the Four Voyages of Amerigo Vespucci. A description of the whole world on both a globe and a flat surface with the insertion of those lands unknown to Ptolemy, discovered by recent men. Distich. Since God rules the heavens and Caesar the lands, neither the earth nor the stars have greater than these. The book, known today as the Cosmographiae Introductio, or Introduction to Cosmography, listed no author. But it did provide a few scattered clues about its origins. A printer's mark at the back of the book recorded that it had been published 7 years after the sesquimillennium, in the Vosgian Mountains, in a town named after Saint Diodatus. This was easy enough to decipher. The date of publication was 1507, and the town was Saint-Dié, a little town in eastern France, located some 60 miles to the southwest of Strasbourg, in the Vosges Mountains of Lorraine. More clues appeared in the book's two opening dedications, both of which paid tribute to a certain Maximilian Caesar Augustus. Only one figure at this time in European history carried this title, Maximilian I, a German monarch known as King of the Romans, who would soon become Europe's Holy Roman Emperor. The authors of the two dedications were less easy to identify. Although they seem to have played roles in the preparation and printing of the book, they identified themselves only as Philesius Vogesigina and Martinus Ilacomulus, pen names that had long ago been forgotten. The word cosmography isn't used much today, but educated readers in 1507 knew what it meant: the study of the known world and its place in the cosmos. At the time, as had been the case for centuries, scholars believed the cosmos to consist of a set of giant concentric spheres. The moon, the sun, and the planets each had their own sphere, and beyond them was a single sphere containing all of the stars, the firmament. The earth sat motionless at the center of these spheres, each of which wheeled grandly around the globe day and night in a never-ending procession. It was the job of the cosmographer, who was at once a geographer, an astronomer, a mathematician, and even a philosopher, to describe the visible makeup of the cosmos and to explain how its various parts fit together. The Introduction to Cosmography devoted its opening 35 pages to this task. Methodically and authoritatively, the work laid out a traditional model of the cosmos. First came the abstract definitions: a circle, a line, an angle, a solid, a
sample complete. Ready to continue?